You're listening to
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig, show 340. I'm your host, Aaron Makeham. Sci-Fi Dig is a podcast about science fiction, fantasy, comics, horror, all that geeky, wonderful stuff that we all love. And the last few episodes have been my Dad is a Geek episodes with me and my daughter. And I was trying to, we had a few days where we had some rain. There was nothing else to do. And her and I were home. So we watched some of the what I felt were classic science fiction movies or movies that she should know of. And we did a podcast about them. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed watching the movies with her. I really enjoyed watching her watch the movies and get to some of the points that I've always thought were some of my favorite parts, or like edge of your seat kind of parts. And watching her, you know, face as she's viewing them. Anyway, with any luck, maybe the next episode will be another My Dad is a Geek episode. School started back up. We're all kind of back into a pretty regular routine. There's not a lot of time. There's not like a couple hours in the evening we can carve out to just watch a movie. But this evening we are going to see the Mortal Instruments film, and my daughter's a huge fan of that. So maybe we will have an opportunity to discuss that. It should be interesting. My daughter was reading the Mortal Instruments novels, and I think there's five of them now, four or five. I cannot remember how many there are. And then there's another series that takes place before the most current stuff. Anyway, she was reading them, and she kept going on and on about them, how much, she was telling me about them, how much she liked them. It sounded like something that would be kind of interesting. So I decided that I would like to know what she was reading. So I went and I read them. Now, I'm not a teenage girl, obviously. Not a huge fan of the teenage angsty type of stuff, but I do have to say that there is good character development in the novels. Also, I like the world that has been created. This is probably going to be one of the few times, I haven't seen the film, but one of the few times where I'm going to say that I might like the movie better than the books, because it looks like there's much more action. There's more, it looks like they've done enough editing in the film that the action is closer together. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the movie, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it with her anyway. And maybe if she hates it, she can talk about it. If she doesn't hate it, she can talk about it. But hopefully we'll get time to talk about it if time permits. Now, I do have several things to talk about. It's been, like I said, it's been a long time since it's just been me. Several months, in fact, since I did a show. Let's see. I'm looking at the website now, and it was June 25th was the last time I did a show, a solo show. And so with that being said, I've had some listener feedback since then, as well as a couple of other things that have happened that I wanted to talk about, that I've experienced, that I wanted to share with the rest of the diggers out there. But before we jump into that, we're going to do DVD releases for September 3rd, 2013, if you live in the U.S. We're getting to that point in time now where over the next couple months, all the summer movies are going to be coming out on DVD. And I can't wait to pick up and rewatch some of these. I mean, I'm so excited because most of the summer movies I've seen, I absolutely love, but two in particular, and that would be Star Trek and Pacific Rim, are in my top, and I cannot wait to go and watch them and the special features and all that stuff, especially Pacific Rim. I want to know how they did all that stuff. But anyway, September 3rd in the U.S., you're going to get Now You See Me, which is a movie we were going to go see and never had the opportunity. Lords of Salem is going to be available. Sharknado, which I didn't get to see, and I'm definitely not going to buy. I'll wait to it's on something streaming or they show it again. We're going to get Creepshow 2 on a Blu-ray release. The Fugitive is going to be a Blu-ray release. We're also going to get Criminal Minds Season 8. I only mention that because my daughter has recently discovered that and has been enjoying that. Haven Season 3, a show that I love. Spartacus War of the Damned, that I haven't seen all of, but I'm going to buy the release when it comes out because I need to finish that story. Love Spartacus. Just one of the best, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best shows on TV. And it's funny because a lot of times when I go and I look at the pre-releases and I see, I mean, there's certain things that I know, like I don't get Stars, so I'm going to watch it on DVD as my only option. But when I go and look and I read some of the reviews and some of the people that hate it, I don't know. Some of the reviews, I mean, obviously I don't agree. Reviews are very opinionated. I don't agree with them, but sometimes it's like, well, this is so cheaply made and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Yeah, you must not be watching the same show. Yeah, there's you cannot tell me that their makeup budget and their effects budget is not like astronomical, because they just it looks so fantastic. Anyway, so we're gonna get that Revolution season one for those folks that like Revolution. I'll be watching it when it comes back, but it needs to take it up a couple notches, because it's getting too starting to get a little bit too convoluted. People just switching sides at the drop of a hat, and it's getting kind of weird. The Vampire Diaries season four is going to be available. Actually, I just finished the Vampire Diaries. I had three left on my DVR, and I wanted to watch them before the new show started. And I got to say, I wasn't really loving the last few episodes. It's been kind of slow. A lot of let's talk about our feelings kind of stuff, and a lot of soap opery stuff, and just not really my thing. I mean, I'm gonna stick with it. I'll keep watching it, but I'm about ready to drop it. And again, just because not because it's not good, just because it's not my kind of thing. So I would like to. I mean, there's so many new shows out there, and we have a lot of new stuff on Netflix and things that I want to get into that I just I don't really I just don't have time for this other stuff. If you live in the UK, this is going to ha you're going to get this is going to be for September 2nd. You, of course, are going to get every variation of Star Trek Into Darkness a week before we do. Any kind of variation, the DVD Blu-ray, the DVD Blu-ray, 3D digital copy, all that stuff. It's all region free, actually, which is kind of funny because technically you could buy it. Of course, you probably would not get it before you could buy it here, but you could pre-order it there if you wanted. I was going to pre-order the version with the phaser. I really want the phaser, but I just don't. It's like a $50 difference, so I'm just going to wait on that and maybe buy a maybe if they have one later on. Anyway, they also have the double pack with both movies as well. Also, Hannibal season one is going to be available. The Little Mermaid is going to make a have a Blu-ray release. The X-Files movie Fight the Future, and I Want to Believe limited edition Steelbook is going to be available. I like the Fight the Future. I Want to Believe, did not like it at all. A Town Called Eureka season 5 is going to be available. Banshee is going to be available. Just bought that series and watched it. Really liked it. Very violent series, but I really enjoyed it. And again, don't have Cinemax, so I'll be buying that on DVD as it comes out. A Good Day to Die Hard is going to be available, and that seems to be about it. I'm not exactly sure where the Doctor Who is this week, but no Doctor Who that I can see here. Let's see. Star Trek, the original series Origins Blu-ray is going to be available. I'm not exactly sure what's going to be on there, but it looks like it's a pack of maybe just a couple of episodes put together there. And I would suggest that if you don't have Trek on Blu-ray, you don't intend to buy Trek on Blu-ray, some of these packs like this would be the way to go, because it looks really good on Blu-ray. As far as I'm concerned, it looks better than any of the other series that I've seen on Blu-ray. And there is going to I see that they're now releasing 4K copies of movies, which, if you can make that work for you, you knock yourself out. Not really sold into 4K, but it's whatever. Anyhow, so I have a little bit of listener feedback. I'm going to play one, and then I'm going to talk about the second one, because I'd be remiss if I did not get to this. And I apologize, it's taking me this long. It's just that it's been sitting here, and I haven't had time to record. But I'm going to try once again to get back to a weekly schedule if I can.
Hi, Aaron. It's Nick Jess. I was listening to one of your Fringe recaps, and you said something about Agent Dunham has got to be tired of being examined by Walter and having him ask her if she had been taking any drugs. And this is one of the things that I find so real about Fringe and the character of Walter. I worked extensively with the mentally ill and chemically dependent community. So basically Walter. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about that was any opportunity that they could suspect somebody was taking drugs, they would, and they would get really excited about it. I remember I had donated blood before going earlier in the day, before going to a shift at work, And one of the consumers, seeing the marks on my arm, and his eyes lit up, and he asked if I shot up heroin. And of course, it was one of the things we had to discourage. It was like, no, and that's not a polite thing to ask. But it was something, it was just this trait for some reason, you know, that they couldn't do it anymore or whatever. And so they would get excited about other people doing these drugs and so forth. And I love the whole depiction of Walter. I think that it is very true. It is very accurate. And what I'm enjoying about these reviews, because I'm going through and I'm watching Fringe a little bit after listening to the reviews and so forth, is I think Peter and Walter are my absolute favorites. I don't really care so much about Denim, but I love Peter and Walter. I love their interactions. And it may just be the fact that you've got two fantastic actors on the screen, because the Peter and Denim scenes are also quite great. And you know, I personally think, unlike a lot of people, I personally think that Joshua Jackson is a really good actor and highly underrated. And then you've got Peter Noble, and so you put them together and it's just perfect. So, just my two cents, I thought I'd send that in. Bye!
Yeah, it seems as though Fringe has really tried hard to make things look as realistic and have, like, realistic interactions. That's part of what sells the show. You know, Peter and Walter, their entire relationship, you could actually do a show just about that, you know, minus all the science and just dealing with parents who are getting elderly and can only, in Walter's case, obviously he's had some damage done to him, mentally, that, you know, he's having trouble functioning in society. But you could actually do a show about, you know, the realism of that. But anyway, still digging Fringe, and I'm kind of chomping at the bit to get back to it. I'm going to have more Fringe for you all today. But I do have one more, a little bit of feedback, and this came back. Oh, this had to be back in June. Alan, a.k.a. New Mutant, who does the Power Principle comic book and appears on many a podcast. The guy that turned me on to the 100 push-ups program, or, you know, 10,000 push-ups, 100 push-ups a day for 100 days, which I've surpassed, and I'm trying to get 50,000 in for the year. I'm on my way. As long as I don't miss any days, I should be all right. But anyway, he pointed out to me that one of the audio clips I played in the last episode is actually the plot to Star Trek II. Now, I recorded the breakdown long before I went to see Star Trek II, so I had to stop and think about it. Then I went back and played the audio clip, and sure enough, that's pretty spot on as what the plot is. So I'm going to go ahead and play that clip for you now, and then all your minds can be collectively blown, and then you can, you know, send feedback about it. I'm all about the feedback. So anyway, without further ado, here is that clip.
Mr. Grayson, you operate a website called Galaxy Truths, where you claim to uncover conspiracies perpetrated by foreign governments.
I don't claim. I accomplish. Unlike you two, you're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
Look, I can appreciate your opinion, Mr. Grayson.
I just wanted to ask you a few.
You're right, okay? She's a Fed, but I'm not. I'm just like you. I am a citizen in search of the truth. Give me the phone. We downloaded this off of your website. It claims that this person was a victim of spontaneous human combustion. Now, you gotta tell us, where did this one happen?
Budapest. 3 weeks ago. The victim was an American graduate student on holiday. The Hungarian police say he was attacked and set on fire. That's not the truth.
Why do you say that?
Are you familiar with William Bell?
Of course.
William Bell killed these people.
What do you mean?
William Bell's company, Massive Dynamic, is a cover for all manner of unethical behavior. Multinational, outside the purview of government control. He founded it to continue his experiments with impunity. Among them, secret drug trials. This was one of his test subjects.
And why would William Bell have him killed?
Well, he didn't. At least not intentionally. You see, Bell is trying to activate his subjects to see which ones were successful. Some can handle the process, Others can't.
What process?
To create super soldiers.
Super soldiers?
Yes. Like Khan Noonien Singh, to defend us in the coming war.
What war?
I'm sorry. The Khan?
Yes.
As in the wrath of?
Yes.
And let me guess. This war, it's against...
The Romulans. Renegade Romulans. From the future. Here to change the timeline. The sworn enemy of the Federation.
The Federation? That would be the United Federation of Planets.
Yes.
And you all know this because...
I am the son of Sarek.
Which makes you Spock.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Spock, thank you for your time. We'll let you get back to the bridge now.
Live long and prosper.
And there you have it. That is the plot, Star Trek 2. Hope there's no spoilers there. Anyway, I have more Fringe for you today. I have the season finale of episode 1. Yes, I know the Fringe breakdown is going to take, getting all these episodes out is going to take longer. The entire series ran, I think, because I'm just... I'm kind of slow about it, but it's a work in progress, people. It's a work in progress. It's a passionate love that I'm doing this. Anyway, before I do that, I have a lot to talk about this show. So I just keep in mind that I'm going to come back. We're going to go for a long one here, but this is about 42 minutes long. The one thing I wanted to quickly mention before I forget about, because I didn't write it down in my notes, is that I have successfully moved the entire website. The whole shebang is now... Everything is in one place. The media as well. I was using Libsyn to host all the media files, and I had some problems with them. I'm not going to sit here and complain and whine about it. I'm just saying that I had some issues with them, so I moved everything so that I have more control over everything. I want to thank Michael for that. He's really given me a huge hand in doing that. One of the things is that I was going to have to upload every single podcast I had done. And that was going to take me about 10 years to do that. But because apparently he has like super internet, he just like, bam, threw like 200 shows up there in one chunk. But I have not relinked all of the shows. So I have a ton of shows up there that are not relinked. The reason I'm mentioning this is I have gotten a few emails from folks that want to listen to certain shows and tell me the links are broken. And so I've just emailed them the direct link so they can just download it that way. So if you know of anybody, you hear of anybody, or you yourself are looking for a particular show, send me an email, because relinking the shows is going to take time. It's something I'm doing very, very slowly. I'm trying to carve out a chunk of 15, 20 minutes during the week to sit down and try to link two or three at a time, working my way back. All the Fringe shows are linked properly. Everything before that, probably not, but I have the shows there. They are available. I can just send you a direct link if you shoot me an email. I just have not had time. It's kind of a winter project. I'm waiting until I can't work outside anymore, be outside anymore to do that. So I will get there. So if you know of anybody or you yourself are having a problem, don't hesitate to email me. I'll try to get you the link as soon as I possibly can. And now I'm going to play some Fringe. This week's episode is entitled There's More Than One of Everything. It originally aired on May 12th, 2009. And this is episode 20 of season 1. This is the season finale with a bit of a cliffhanger. A great episode. And I cannot wait to get in here and talk about it. I do have to say that as far as cliffhangers go, it is not... It's, you know, there's like a couple different kind of cliffhangers. There's the one where you can kind of see what's going to happen in the next part. You know, you know that, you know, clearly this is going to be a two-parter. You have the one where everything's building up and it just leaves you hanging like so much. You're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that it ended like that. And then you have this kind of cliffhanger where it could actually... This show could just end on this episode. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen, but the episode's all been building up to this moment. And so season two, the first episode of that, I love the episode. I have a lot to talk about when I get to that episode. But, man, that is the hardest episode I've had to do thus far. There's just so much going on, and I can just tell you right now that I'm going to screw that up. So everybody go ahead and watch season two, episode one, and get all the thoughts and stuff in your head. And as you listen to the podcast and I screw things up, send me an email, because I have a diagram that I can't even understand it now. There's so much stuff and so many lines and arrows and everything else. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to mess this up. So I'm just going to try to give the overview of that the best I can. But anyway, that's going to be next week. This week, we're going to talk about There's More Than One of Everything. And if you remember the last episode, The Road Not Taken, Nina gets assaulted in an elevator. You know, she gets, we're not exactly sure. I mean, she gets shot, obviously, but some things happen. You're not quite sure, you know, what went on. And so we kind of start off this episode. We jump right into that, right? The first scene is not that, but the second scene is her being rushed to the hospital. The first scene is there's a car accident. There's a man gets out of the car and he's running down the street. And he finally finds a building that he runs into, and it's abandoned, and is able to hide in. And we'll get back to that momentarily. But the next scene is of Nina being rushed to the hospital. And I love this scene where, you know, they're saying, you know, the guy's shouting out everything that they need. And the paramedic is like, "Doctor, you need to see this." And he uncovers her arm and all the skin's off of her robotic arm. And, you know, we see all the, like, just get the whole Terminator effect going on, you know, and everybody's like, "Oh no," you know? So the first clip I have is a long clip, but it's of them discussing what has happened to Nina. And I'll play the clip. It's pretty self-explanatory.
"Sir, I just heard about Nina Sharp. Do we know who shot her?"
"Trying to figure that out. The security guard and doorman in the lobby are dead. No idea on the gunman."
"But is she going
to
be a...
"Too early to say."
"Sir, no official statement from Massive Dynamic or William Bell."
"Thanks. That's no surprise. They say the COO was shot. The stock will take a hit."
"Hey, Liv. Security footage just came. We had a video tech of some of the three video cameras. They shoot the night guy. They replace him. Then this guy comes in, and they all head upstairs. Nina Sharp comes in 6 minutes later. Then it goes black for 4 minutes.
What did he do to her?
Whatever it was, it only took him 4 minutes.
Who is he?
Can we enhance what he said?
Sure.
Run it through voice recognition.
Check out the camera. We can do it here.
David Robert Jones.
Why is he wearing bandages and the others are wearing masks?
Not easy to walk around when you're on half the world's watch list. Maybe he's recently tried to change his appearance.
But all our information suggests that Jones is working for Bell, so why shoot his number two? It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe our information is wrong.
Well, why don't we go straight to the source and bring William Bell in for questioning now?
At this point, I don't think...
We have solid intelligence that William Bell is funding these horrific events that we've seen, most of which have been carried out by Jones. Now, at this point, I don't care how powerful William Bell is or how deep his political connections go. He is not above the law.
Dunham.
Sir, with all due respect, I have too much in this, professionally and personally, that if you stand in the way now, I...
Dunham, I came in here to begin making the calls I'm going to need to make in order to get the interview that we both agree is necessary. And I would also request that you stop cutting me off every time I'm about to tell you to stop drilling your struck oil, as I was going to do when we first came through that door. This is Broyles. Nina Dana Sharp is out of surgery.
Now, I love that scene with Broyles because, you know, obviously Olivia gets on a roll and he just cannot get a word in edgewise. And I thought that was really well played by her because she does this long, you know, I don't want to say it's a rant, but she gets going. She gets kind of ramped up. And although she doesn't get loud, she just gets going so fast. She's kind of gasping for breath. And he just, you know, when she gets done, he's like, you know, if you just let me talk. Now, the next clip I have is of, if you remember last episode, at the end of the episode, Walter walked off with, you know, the Observer. And we're not exactly sure what's, you know, what happened, what's going on. And nobody really knows that Walter is gone, you know, and not doing something he's supposed to do. So the next clip is Peter coming to that realization that Walter is missing.
Hey.
Hey, where's Walter?
With you?
Mm-mm. I went to check on him this morning. His bed wasn't even slept, and I thought he'd worked here all night.
I thought he went home with you last night.
Hey, I need to talk to Walter. Is he here?
Yeah, take a number.
I'm going to check the cafeteria, see if he slept there again.
Okay. You don't look so good.
David Robert Jones shot Nina Sharp. I wanted to see if...
Hi. It's Peter Bishop calling. I was wondering if you maybe have an eye on my father. He wandered off again. Yeah. Look, can you do me a favor? Could you go check down in the marine biology lab? He sometimes spends the night down there cleaning out the tanks with Mrs. Erickson. No, I'll wait. Thank you.
Do you think he left because of what I said?
You mean because of what he's referring to as the assault in the pastry shop? I don't know. It's hard to say.
It was about Cortexafan. Bell's trials. I wanted to see if Walter knew what Bell did to me.
I know. He told me. You got him off guard. And I understand you had your reasons for saying what it is that you had to say. And I know he understands that, too.
He's not there. No one's seen him.
Hello? No luck, huh? Okay, well, thanks for your help.
Peter, I'm sorry that I was so hard on him.
Okay. Don't worry about it. He's probably back at the hotel right now working his way to the bottom of a pint of rocky road.
Now, in the next clip, Broyles goes to the hospital and he has a conversation with Nina. I mean, she's out of surgery. She's able to talk. And when he walks in there, she's kind of looking at her arm, trying to figure out, I mean, it doesn't seem to be working correctly, and she knows something is, you know, she's staring at it like she knows something that we do not know. So I'm going to have two clips. I'm going to put them together here. You know, at the end of the first clip, you know, Nina asks for Olivia, and then I put those two clips together. But it's pretty self-explanatory, and, you know, again, we find out a little bit more information about Jones. We find out exactly why they went after Nina and what it is that she had that they wanted and why they had to black out the camera for those 4 minutes while they did whatever they had to do.
I think to repair that one requires a special skill set.
Philip.
You've been shot. We discovered it was Jones. You're lucky. Not too many gunshot victims come through this way have Kevlar parts in the ribcage. He'll be up in about no time. What did he want, Nina? What did he do to your arm?
Get me Agent Dunham. I need to speak with her right away. William Bell is not the problem, and he's certainly not the head of any terrorist organization.
Well, I'll make that judgment. Thank you.
Well, it's true. Jones used to work for William Bell 15 years ago. In fact, he was one of our first employees at Massive Dynamic. But he was let go.
Why?
The details are not important. Suffice to say that Jones felt spurned by the rejection. William was a father figure to him, a respected mentor. I would go as far as to say that all the death and destruction that Jones has caused up until this point has been a way of proving something to William.
To prove what?
Jones always felt that he was special and that no one recognized that. Certainly not William.
So before the shooting, when was the last time you saw David Jones?
Oh, I haven't seen him for years. But after he broke out of prison, He was contacting our offices, requesting meetings with Dr. Bell. Over the past few weeks, his calls have become rather extreme.
You've been in contact with a known felon?
It was an internal matter. Clearly, we thought we could manage this better than we did.
Apparently, Jones is ill, dying from the teleportation from his prison break. Nina believes Jones' agenda is to kill William Bell when he finds him.
Then Bell needs to come in. We need to put him into protective custody.
Not possible.
Why not? Where is he?
I can't say.
This is ridiculous.
Now, listen to me, Agent Dunham. I can't say because I don't know. I haven't seen William Bell for months. He's been communicating with me strictly electronically. But what I do know, though, is speaking with William Bell has become more than a professional matter for you. In fact, I'm counting on that. Stop Jones, and I will personally arrange a meeting between you and Bell. But if Jones gets to Bell first, I'm afraid all the answers you're searching for die with him.
What did Jones want from you? What did he do to you in the elevator?
He stole a very powerful energy cell that Dr. Bell hid within my arm.
What can he do with it?
Unfortunately, the question is, what can't he do?
Now, what he's trying to do, and we're going to find out, is that he builds a machine, and the idea here is he's trying to open a portal to the other world, the other dimension. And him and his crew set up in the middle of the street, obviously using Nina's power cell to power the device. They open the window, and they're not able to hold it, and a Mack truck comes through, almost all of it, and then they can't hold it open, so the portal closes over the back of the truck and cuts off the wheels, and it comes sliding in and causes an accident. And, of course, the Fringe team is called in because this is really bizarre, and they're interviewing people. And, again, I have two clips here. There's a lot of clips to this episode, so I'm just trying to... I like the fact, I mean, the multiple dimension thing is obviously what Fringe is about, what it's always going to be about, you know, the fact that there are multiple dimensions. And this, you know, as the show goes on, those of you that have already seen the season, or at least seen the first three episodes, know that this is a huge, huge part of Fringe. But I like how they're slowly putting this together and getting an understanding and how they're able to use their investigative skills to figure out, you know, that something really bizarre is going on here.
What the hell happened? Where's the other half of the truck?
Suddenly there was this shimmer, like a curtain almost, or a window.
My colleague said you saw a man with a machine. What did it look like?
The man was holding like this black square, like it was scanning something.
This truck, it just came out of nowhere. Just appeared, like it came through the window, and what was on the other side of it was different.
It was emitting a sound, like a loud noise. It didn't look like it was doing anything, but did.
Do you remember what he looked like?
No, he was wearing a mask.
Are you sure it was a mask and not bandages?
Yeah, more like bandages.
Now, I need to point out that Jones, when we see him, he is all wrapped in bandages, and he's wearing a pair of sunglasses. He kind of looks like the Invisible Man does. And, you know, we're going to get a better look at him as the episode progresses and realize that he's not in the best of shape.
Driver died on impact. Blunt force trauma to the head. That's what we got so far.
You sure this is right?
Yeah.
What?
The prints aren't coming back on the driver. The truck isn't registered in New York or anywhere else. The VIN number, the serial part numbers, they don't exist.
What does that mean?
This truck was never made. How is that possible? Where the hell did it come from?
Now we have to talk a bit about what's going on with Walter's storyline in this particular episode. The Observer and Walter have a conversation, and the Observer gives Walter a coin and, you know, basically tells him there's something that he's not remembering that he needs to remember. And it has him kind of frustrated. And so Peter ends up finding Walter at the beach house and that they used to go to when he was a kid. And Walter is obviously very much in distress. He's looking for something. He can't find it. He's getting very, very frustrated in true Walter form. And I'm going to play that clip for you now. This is a great Peter and Walter moment.
Hello, Peter.
Walter, what are you doing here? You had us worried.
I'm looking for something. I think it might be in this house. And it's very important.
Okay. What are you looking for?
I just can't recall, son. That's the thing.
You're not telling us everything. If Jones is looking for Bell, then what does an energy cell and a truck coming from nowhere have to do with that?
Well, nothing comes out of nowhere, Agent Dunham.
Then where does it come from?
I think you already know that. And I think you already suspect where William Bell is.
Are you saying that you know where Bell is? Stop playing games with me. Tell me where he is, or I assure you I will turn this world over looking for him.
Well, that's just the problem, Agent Dunham. William Bell is not in this world.
Now, this would be a good time to tell you what the glyphs say. The glyphs spell out the word grave, and that will play in as we get towards the end of the episode. And poor Charlie. The next clip is Olivia kind of explaining to Charlie about, you know, the belief that there is an alternate reality. And, you know, we learned a little bit about this in The Road Not Taken, you know, people making different choices and that forming all these different realities. And that this alternate reality is supposedly where William Bell is at. Now, let me play the clip and then I'll tell you more.
You're saying that William Bell disappeared into a different universe, like Dorothy going to Oz.
Well, Walter calls it an alternate reality. Do you understand?
Not remotely. You're saying that William Bell is not on this planet?
No, he is. Just another version of this planet.
Have you ever had deja vu?
Living a moment you already lived before, yes. What does deja vu have to do with where Bell is?
Well, deja vu is like a glimpse into the other side. You feel like you've been somewhere before, because actually in another reality, you have.
But deja vu is just a window. It's possible some individuals may be able to do more than just see into the other world. They may be able to travel there.
So the incident on the street, that's why we can't identify the truck, because it came from the other side.
That's what Jones is using the energy cell for. He's trying to cross over, to get to Bell.
So now we know what Jones's plan is. Now, the next clip I have is of Walter still trying to search the beach house, finding what it is that the observer tells him that he has hidden here that they need. And this is when his stake gets highly agitated, and Peter is trying to do what Peter does best. He's trying to calm him down. And this is intermixed with a couple of other clips because this is a long segment. This is like 3.5 minutes. So just bear with me. But this is a big, meaty portion of the episode.
Yes, Peter. It's true. I started something a long time ago. I did. It's the truth. I did.
Walter.
And I have to finish it.
Walter.
Hi.
Walter. Oh. I need you to take a breath and calm down. Walter, I need you to take a deep breath.
I don't know where to look. It's important to look out.
Walter, where are you going? Walter, look, it's getting late. We need to head back.
No, not yet.
You know, I remember when we used to come down here during the summers. Mom and I. You were always still working back in the city. I'd stand out here on the beach for hours, just looking at the ocean. It used to seem like it went on forever.
And on Saturdays, I'd always wake up just before my alarm. I could smell the pancakes. Which meant that you were here. I'd creep down the stairs. And there you'd be. Standing over the stove, flipping pancakes. You seemed so big back then. I'd just stand there watching you. And you'd always flip one of the pancakes.
I made them in the shape of whales.
They were your favorite.
Yes. I remember. Thank you. I know why I'm here. I know where it is.
Okay, so tell me exactly what you saw.
Standing there by the field. Lance went back, you know, to get the ball. And that's when I saw. It's like a see-through wall up here. It sort of shimmered. Like a heat wave, you know? Like something was there, but it wasn't.
What do you mean it was there and it wasn't?
It was like a window. But warped. Then it shut.
Thank you. Okay. So him and his friend are playing soccer. Kid's running with the ball. All of a sudden, they see the shimmer of light. Kid hits the shimmer, and then he just sort of collapsed.
And did anyone see Jones?
No. But there's a bit more to go. Go ahead. How does something like that happen? Can't believe I'm going to be saying this. Let's assume that Jones is trying to make this doorway into another universe.
Why here? I mean, first New York, now here. What do they have in common?
Now, when the team arrives at the soccer field from the scene that I just played you, there is a soccer player who is kind of cut in half, right at a diagonal. He ran into the event horizon, and it just chopped him off, and half of his body's missing. It's not like it just cut him in half. It's like, so half his body has to be in the other dimension. And so, the next clip I have is a big clip. And again, it's intermixed between Olivia making realizations and Walter making realizations. And they both come to the same conclusion of where the next event is going to take place. And so they're all going to head there and, you know, try to stop Jones. They're not exactly sure, you know, what's happening, but they just know that he needs to be stopped.
Got it. What exactly is that?
When Billy and I were younger men, we regularly ingested large quantities of LSD.
You don't say?
We became convinced what we saw while on the drug was real. We believed that we were catching glimpses of another reality, another world just like ours, but slightly different. Populated by slightly different versions of ourselves. We all experienced momentarily as deja vu, and Billy and I could prolong it with hallucinogenics. But the question, of course, was how to get there without LSD.
Billy, as you know, theorized that young children have the capacity to see these other worlds naturally.
I know, you already told me about that. Bell's experiments were cortexophan.
Yes, he theorized that properly nurtured, these abilities could be heightened, intensified, and that in time, his subjects may be able to travel from here to there.
Over there. You mean an alternate world?
Around this time, something was lost to me, Peter. Something precious. I became convinced that if only I could cross over myself, then I could take from there what I had lost here.
And what was the plan? You were just going to open up a hole and then walk over to the other side?
No. It's not that simple. You have to find the right place first.
Finding the right place to cross over is the key. Dr. Bell once posited that our world has soft spots. places where the fundamental constants of nature, the speed of light, gravity, the mass of a proton, for example, have begun to decay. As a result, in these particular areas, the membrane between the realities is thinner, almost porous. The Bermuda Triangle is one, but there are others. And until recently, these areas were extremely rare.
What do you mean, until recently? What happened?
We happened, Agent Dunham. Scientific progress, advancing technologies, by meddling with the laws of nature, has hastened the decay of these constant fundamentals and increased the number of soft spots.
So you're suggesting Jones is looking for one of these soft spots?
Yes. In the belief that by releasing the right kind of energy and aiming it exactly at the proper spot, he could effectively break through.
Of course, there's a problem opening a hole to another reality. In theory, that would also allow things from there to pass over here, which could be dangerous. And so I also built a plug. A plug. Actually, more a patch. To close the hole should the need ever arise. This is that patch, Peter. This is what I had to find.
Okay, just so I'm clear. Somewhere out there, there is a hole to another reality, and you need to plug it.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, do you know where it is?
Yes. Yes, I do, Peter. Raiden. Raiden Lake.
We have to identify another soft spot, then we'll know where he's going.
We should expand the search parameters. Did you map events beyond the Eastern Seaboard?
No, they're not on our database.
I'll call my office. I have the files transferred to your system.
Which of these events are the oldest? Do you remember? I mean, these events are somehow consequences of soft spots, then.
Well, these are the first recorded incidents. They all go back more than 15 years.
Becca's Meadow. That was the site of the first incident we know about.
Wait. All of these incidents point to here. That's where he's going. Raiden Lake.
Now, both teams arrive at Raiden Lake at the same time. Peter and Walter are having a conversation in the car as Walter talks a bit about Peter's childhood and his obsession with coins, because there was a coin on top of the box, and he gives it to Peter, and Peter's doing the thing where he flicks it through his fingers. And during this conversation, suddenly they are assaulted from either side and ends up being Olivia's FBI team. So they sneak in, they find Jones setting up all his devices, and Olivia ends up having to shoot the person that's running the computer, and Jones won't stop. And during this scene, she shoots him a couple times, and they have this exchange.
Stop! Don't move!
Beautiful, isn't it?
You'll understand that this reunion is brief.
If you take one more step, I'll shoot!
Goodbye, Agent Dunham.
Jones!
Teleporter. It may be killing me, but in the meantime, it's made me something rather special.
You see, your bullets just go right through me. And soon Dr. Bell will see just how special I am.
Now, what happens is that Peter uses a device to shut down the event horizon where this is happening. And when he shuts down the event, Jones is partway through. And so it just shuts down and cuts him in half. And he's in really bad shape when we see him. They do some great job with the makeups here. His pupils are all white, and he's just really, really in bad shape. His face is a disaster. He's still covered up in bandages, but he's just in a very, he doesn't look very pretty. Anyway, the next clip is everything's kind of wound up, and Peter comes in to talk to his dad, and Astrid brings Walter some cereal, And I'm just going to play the clip.
Hey.
Hey.
Under normal circumstances, I would ask you when I could expect your report. But in this case, I find myself at a bit of a loss.
How is Nina?
She's doing fine. She wanted me to convey her gratitude.
What?
We've been told to cease and desist our investigation into William Bell.
By whom?
The kind of people that when they give you an order, you don't question it. I'm sorry.
Dr. Bishop, good news. Got you some Berry Boom.
Hey, what's wrong? Stepping out for a bit. Don't worry about me, son. I know where I'm going.
You want me to call the police?
No. That is the first time he's ever written a note. I think our little boy is growing up.
Now, what we're seeing is Walter is at a cemetery, and he's looking at Peter Bishop's tombstone. It says 1978 to 1985. And, you know, it's kind of weird that, you know, we're not quite sure what's happening. I mean, at this point, I know what has happened. I think all the viewers have known what is happening here. And I don't want to say, because I don't want to spoil anything for somebody who hasn't gotten it yet. And we're going to find out more in season two. But Walter is there, and he takes the coin out of his pocket, and he's crying, and he puts it on top of the grave. And Olivia gets a call from Nina Sharp asking if she can meet her at a hotel in Manhattan the next day. And she says, you know, that Olivia kept up her end of the bargain, and now Nina will do what she said she was going to do and arrange that meeting with William Bell. Olivia comes into New York, and there's a scene that it's kind of nonsensical, but they make a big show of it. And you need to pay attention to this, because this really plays out into the next episode here. But as she enters the city, a car pulls out in front of her, and she has to swerve and just barely misses the collision. I mean, but she misses it, you know, but just barely. And so she goes into the hotel where she's supposed to be, you know, meeting Nina. And there's not anybody in the restaurant. And she's sitting there, and she calls Nina's office, and they say that Nina's out of the country. And so Olivia's kind of ticked off, because she figures she's been kind of, you know, taken for a ride here. So she gets into the elevator, and she pushes the down button. And, of course, the elevator starts going up, and you can see that she looks kind of disgusted. As it goes up, there's a blue flicker. There's blue flickers throughout the episodes. I haven't mentioned them. Some people seem to think that kind of connects things. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. My mind's not made up on that, but I don't think that that's an important aspect, at least not for me doing the you know, doing the breakdowns of the episodes. But during one of these, right after this blue flicker, the elevator flicks, and it's full of people with her. And then suddenly it's empty again. The elevator opens up onto a very white hallway, and she is greeted by a woman. Now I'm going to play this clip. And during this clip, there's not a lot of dialogue. It comes towards the end, but Olivia is taken to an office, and when she's looking around, she's looking at a newspaper, and there's a couple of things on the newspaper. One of the things is President Obama's family will soon move into the new White House. And so she kind of is like, wow, you know, what's going on here? So let me play the clip.
Agent Dunham, welcome. Right this way. Go right in.
I've been waiting quite a long time for this.
Where am I? Who are you?
The answer to your first question is... it's very complicated. The answer to your second... I'm William Bell.
So that great music is playing at the end is of Olivia looking out the window and realizing, you know, it pans out and we realize that she's in a different universe and she's standing in one of the Twin Towers, which are still standing. In this universe, the Twin Towers did not get destroyed, but the White House did. And, you know, one of the things that I want to say about this episode, I believe Fringe used to be on Tuesdays. I think that's when it was. And I can look up the date, but I just haven't, of when this aired. But I had just gone to see the new Star Trek movie on this day. And so I just got to see Leonard Nimoy play Spock and in the new Trek film. Well, it was the last Trek film, okay? Of course, by the time you hear this, the part two of that will be out, right? And so I came home, and I was just so giddy with delight that I got to see Leonard Nimoy again. I'm like, what are the chances of those two things lining up? And so he does portray William Bell, and he'll make a couple of more appearances. We will see him again in the series of Fringe. And, you're going to hear his voice from time to time, and obviously it's nice to have a face to reference when they discuss William Bell because his name's going to come up multiple times. Now, a lot of this stuff, I mean, this is a great episode, a great season ender. It leaves you wanting more. Everything has been leading to this alternate dimension, alternate universe, as it were. And I think it'd do a really good job of putting everything together and leading us here. Now, when we hit season two, the first episode of season two, we get a few more answers and a few more questions. But things really ramp up because... hey, we're crossing over to there. So is it possible that they are crossing over to here? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. You know, there's going to be multiple things going on here. But things get, things start to kind of fade away. Like all the other aspects, like the family and things like that I've talked about during season one, they start to take the fade away. They go to the back burner, then finally they just kind of slowly... they don't get mentioned very often, and we focus on our core group. So we'll be getting to that. Now, I'm not going to include a screenshot of the Observer because the Observer is seen pretty quickly in this one. It's fairly obvious when we see him. It's not like he was hiding anywhere. And so Season two, however, I did my rewatch of the first episode of season two, and I missed Observer completely. So I think I need to go back and try to find the screenshot of him, because I definitely missed him. Anyway, this was episode 20 of season one. It was entitled "There's More Than One of Everything." Okay, since it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to talk to you, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about going on in my world, some things I wanted to share. You know, I talked a bit about Banshee. I highly recommend that series. It's a good series. Only 10 episodes in the series, but I'm okay with the shorter series that they were putting out there. I'm really, you know, you can kind of, in the course of a couple weeks, you can watch all the episodes and kind of be caught up. The new Batman series has debuted, a new cartoon. It's okay. It's not, I don't have a problem with the changes per se. The animation is not quite what I'm looking for in a Batman show, but I'm not really being sucked in like I was with the other Batman series. So I've been kind of watching it sporadically, and there are some things I like, but really it's just okay. Kind of a shame that that some of the shows that I enjoyed, like Green Lantern and Young Justice, were canceled in order to make room for this. But, it is what it is, right? Falling Skies. Pretty good, pretty solid season of Falling Skies. I mean, actually, the entire season has run in time since the last podcast, I think. But highly recommend this show as well. Really enjoying it. I've enjoyed some of the things that are going on. And they've done a good job of tying up some threads and opening new ones. But, I don't want to give any spoilers for this show, but it kind of started off this season. It kind of started off slow and then build up. And then, you know, we spent some time on character development, and I'm really enjoying that as well. Cowboy Bebop is actually going to be released on Blu-ray sometime in the future. I've seen a couple little notes here and there. I don't have a date yet, but Cowboy Bebop is an anime that I absolutely love. One of my favorites, probably my first favorite anime series. And I remember that I bought the Perfect Collection, they call it, which is the entire series in the slimline unit. I bought it off of eBay years and years ago when they were releasing anime in the U.S. They were doing like two episodes or three episodes on a disc. So if you wanted to buy all of Cowboy Bebop, not only is it going to cost you like $400, but it's going to take up an entire shelf. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do that. I really couldn't afford it at the time. Well, then they started releasing these Perfect Collections. They have this and Trigun. And I remember at the time I bought them, and I was at a con. I was talking to somebody, and they were like, oh, you know, those are pirated copies. They're not. I was like, dude, they're not, you know. And it was like one of those times where you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, and you're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to walk away now because I know, you know, what I bought, and I've seen bootlegs. If these are bootlegs, they cost entirely more than I paid for them to create, because I think the series were like $30 at the time. But I remember seeing the Cowboy Bebop movie that came out afterwards and watching it, and I could not believe how good the animation looked and how fluid everything was. And I'm kind of hoping with the Blu-ray release that it's going to look gorgeous. That may be something that I sincerely doubt I'm going to buy it again, but I would like to see the Blu-ray compared to the regular and just see how good that looks, because they got great music and it's a great fun series. I highly recommend it. If you don't have Cowboy Bebop and you've always wanted to buy it, hold off and see what the Blu-ray is going to run, because that might be the way to go. Because I'm kind of hoping there's going to be some more special features on there. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, was a movie that we were going to go see, and we didn't go do it. And then one day I was like, you know, I'm going to rent this and watch it, because I kind of wanted to see it. And I just figured it was one of those movies where, you know, it was going to be kind of having technology that really didn't exist during this time frame. And you're going to be kind of like, you know, kind of like Van Helsing. You know, there'd be technology that they like a lot of steampunk type stuff. When I watched the movie, I couldn't believe, first of all, how much I liked it. It was just so much fun. I really enjoyed it. And the weapons weren't over the top. And one of the things that I really liked about this film is during the credits, the final credits, they actually show the weapons in great detail, how they worked, which I really appreciated considering that you see them in a movie and are so quick and so fast, you don't really get time to, your mind's like, how did they do that, you know, and how's that weapon work? And so it kind of shows how all this stuff comes together. And, but I just had, it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun. I believe it's rated R. And that was one of the reasons I liked it, because they didn't have to hold back on, you know, you're not going to have somebody try to kill you for a half an hour and be done and be, you know, and finally you're able to kill them and say, darn, that was a tough day. That's not how it's going to go. The stream of expletives coming out of your mouth, they're not going to be darned. They're going to be much more creative than that. And so I kind of appreciated the fact that they were, because of the rating, they were able to make it something that, you know, I believed. But just a lot of fun. I highly recommend that. One of the shows that I just finished watching, not sci-fi, is The Killing. Loved season one of The Killing. Thought it was one of the best shows on television. Did not like season two. I could not believe that they were carrying the same case over to the second season. It started to get kind of convoluted. I'm like, okay, this really isn't going anywhere. They really stretched it out. Really disappointed in season two. And then it got canceled. And I thought, well, I mean, canceled in the fact that they weren't bringing it back. And I thought, okay, well, that's because the season two was just so horrible. Well, season three came, they finally announced they were going to go ahead and do a season three. Didn't watch any of it live, DVR'd the entire thing. And over the last week, I burned through all the episodes, and I have got to say, this is some of the best acting on television. Just love this show that is back. Season three is better than any other seasons together, I think, in my opinion, and just really loved it. So highly recommend this. Finally, the one thing that I didn't get to talk, well, I actually have two things here. The one thing I didn't get to talk about that was killing me was Pacific Rim. Man, I could not love this movie more than I do. Talk about a movie that, the critics do not like, do not get, but every single person I know that went to see this movie absolutely loves it. I was lucky enough that, I mean, nobody else in my family really wanted to see this, and they were going to do something. I can't remember what. And I had time before work one day, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go see this. So I went and I watched it. I could not believe how much I really enjoyed this film. And this is the first movie, well, this and Star Trek, that I both pre-ordered without there being a release date. And I mean, there was a general price. It might come down a little bit, but I pre-ordered both of these. And I have no idea when they ship. Obviously, I know when Trek ships, but I have no idea when Pacific Rim ships. And I just was like, I need to have this because I need to know how they did all this. I want the special features. There's been talk of a director's cut, which I would love to see. Yeah, there was a lot of problems with the film, a lot of little things that kind of bugged you. But it wasn't until after the fact I had time to think about it. I thought, well, you know, they could have done this better, or why did they do this, or why did they do this? But the movie is just, it's just so quick and so, considering it's, I think it's over 2 hours, but it just, the time passes so quickly. Just so much fun. Everybody has loved this film. If I wasn't such the huge Trekker that I was, I would say this is my movie of the summer, but still Trek, I liked even better. I know some people didn't like Trek, but, you know, those people clearly don't know what they're talking about. But if it wasn't for that, you know, I love it. I know some people, there's been a couple people that have just kind of talked about this being like a glorified B-movie, but that's not true at all, because the B-movie does not have the budget that this had. That everything did not look as good as it looked, and I thought the acting was perfect for a film of this type. Just really had a lot of fun with it. Cannot recommend this movie enough. If you like giant monsters or giant robots or great action, this everything, you know, is this has it all. And with that being said, this is also one of those movies you can sit down and you could pick apart and make fun of every part of it, but it doesn't matter because I still loved it, and I think most of you will like it as well. Okay, finally, the last thing that I wanted to talk about, that I just wanted to share. I put this up on the Facebook page, but I wanted to share this. You know, I've been buying most of my comics digitally. I'm a huge comics reader. I love comics. Actually, I'm the kind of person that a lot of times when there's deals on comics, I buy them and then put them on the shelf, and then they sit there. And I actually have trades, hardcover trades that are still wrapped in plastic that have been there for 4 years, because there's just not enough hours in a day to read all the stuff that I want to read. But I really have been into digital comics. I've been buying most of my stuff digitally. I wait for there's a sale, and then I stock up, and then I have enough to get me through. Well, I love Valiant. I've been loving the Valiant comics. I love everything. I've never read a Valiant comic until they did the reboot. And, you know, the company A new company bought everything, bought the Acclaim stuff, bought everything, got all the rights to everything, and they started redoing them. They don't tie back to the old stuff at all. You can just read the new stuff and not worry about the old stuff. There's a comic there for everybody, and I like to kind of correlate them to television shows so you kind of know what you're getting into. Archer and Armstrong is kind of like Supernatural. It has that fun feel to it. Exo Man of War is a great sci-fi series. Harbinger is kind of like a real-life X-Men in a lot of ways. Digging all that. Quantum and Woody, I have not read that yet. I have it, but I have not read that yet. I really want to. And Bloodshot is kind of a Terminator kind of thing. That's how I'm going to correlate it to. You know, he's not a machine, but he's basically really, really hard to kill. But really been loving these. And unfortunately, it's only every once in a while do they have sales where they offer them 50% off. Well, if I go to DCB Service, who is my comic company, because I don't have a shop around here locally, they offer the bundle for 50% off. So you just go and you click on the Valiant bundle and you're done. You get all the books the Valiant's releasing that month, 50% off. I cannot beat that price anywhere. So I'm back into buying paper comics again, which is something I didn't think I'd ever be back into. I mean, I'll go to like quarter bins and I'll dig through and buy, well, they're 50-cent bins or dollar bins now. Go through and pick up whatever I feel like reading that's just fun and not worry about it. But now I'm kind of back into it because I want to read these new stories and I cannot beat the price. You know, the cover price of most of these books is $3. So I'm getting them for $1.50. And I can't touch that digitally. You know, once in a while they have a sale, but this way I'm kind of more caught up, more current. And hopefully, you know, it's real easy to get sucked in because you start looking at the DCB service and you start seeing the 50% off stuff and you start grabbing it up, the trades and whatnot, because they're there and it's a good price. You're never going to find that price again, even on Amazon. And you kind of get sucked in. Next thing you know, you go from like a $30 a month bill to $130 a month bill. And I don't want to get there again, because the problem was I started having too many more comics than I cared to read. And part of the problem was that, you know, you have to order 2 months in advance because that's just the way the comic system works. And because of that, I ended up with a lot of stuff that I just did not have time to read. I didn't like. You know, I read the first couple of issues and it was okay, and then I just didn't like it. So I'm just going to stick with the Valiant for now, and maybe some of the Xenoscope stuff. Not really buying anything from Marvel or DC. I just wait for the sales on that as they come through and pick up, because I have no desire to have a bunch more comics in my house again. It's just that this is the easiest, cheapest way I can read them, and I can lend them out or give them away when I'm done, which is what I intend to do. I have several people I work with who are starting to get into comics, some of the younger guys, and I gave all my collection to one of the guys there. But some of the other guys, I've been trying to get them to read Valiant. They've been kind of shying away. They want to read Batman and the stuff that they know, and didn't we all? But hopefully this way I can bring it in and say, hey, here's a good jumping on point. Read this. Tell me what you think, you know. Take a half hour, you know, you can let me know, you know, what you think of it, and I have more if you want more. If not, then we're good, you know. So hopefully that will work out for me and I won't get too sucked into things. But anyway, so that's the show. I think that I covered about, it's been a while since I've talked to you, and I would love to. I'm still working on doing a couple shows with some other folks out there, you know, I especially would like to discuss Star Trek Into Darkness again once I get the Blu-ray in my hands and I can have the opportunity to watch it again, and having another discussion about that, because some of the vitriol I don't understand. Oh, speaking of that, one other thing. You know, they announced Ben Affleck as Batman, and the internet lost its freaking mind. I'm not exactly sure what that's all about, why everybody is so uptight about Affleck and oh my God, he's going to be a terrible Batman and blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, he's an Academy Award winning actor. Somebody named one movie that he was in that because of him, the movie was terrible. Because I can't think of one. People can say Daredevil, but that certainly wasn't due to his acting. That was just because it was a bad script. And actually, if you get the Daredevil director's cut, which changes everything up a little bit, it's a much better movie. And I actually enjoyed it. I actually had to buy a director's cut because he couldn't rent it anywhere. And I wanted to see it before I bought it, but I was like, you know, I've had pretty good luck with the director's cuts, both with that and the Punisher movie. And so I bought it. And actually, I was talking to some friends. Like, that's the only version of the movie I've ever seen. That's what I bought. That's all, you know, all that I have. And I really enjoyed the director's cut. I thought it was fun. You know, is it a groundbreaking movie? No. Does it stick to the comic? In a lot of ways, there's a lot of issues with it. But overall, it was enjoyable. I enjoyed the film, and it certainly wasn't due to anything I didn't enjoy certainly wasn't due to Affleck's, you know, acting ability. I mean, I think he's a good actor, and I know people like to rag on him, but it's, I don't know. I here's the thing, is they're rushing so hard and so fast to get this out to the theaters, the Superman Batman film, that if it's bad, it's going to be due to poor writing and poor planning, because they're just trying to rush and get it out. They want to jump on board and get there with everybody else that, you know, they want to try to do what Marvel's done and try to get a some sort of team movie out there. And we're going to see what happens with that. That could crash and burn. I hope not. I really hope that they get it together and we get a good movie, because as much as I like the Batman trilogy, the Nolan trilogy is too dark and heavy-handed. And it was funny because they offered the first movie, Batman Beyond, which I really Batman Begins, which I really enjoyed, and I bought it because when it first came out of pre-order, it came with the comic and everything, and I have that one. And then I bought the Dark Knight. I bought that one, and I've never watched it. I bought it the day it came out on DVD, and I just have not had the state of mind to sit down and watch it because it's just so heavy-handed and so dark. And they offered a trilogy on Blu-ray, Amazon's deal of the day a while back, and it was less than $20 for all three films. And I thought, you know, what the heck? You know, I've heard that the first two look fantastic on Blu-ray. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get these. And so I bought them, and I'm going to sit down at some point in time and watch them, and hopefully or probably be depressed afterwards. But I definitely want to sit down and watch them. And I like the movies, don't get me wrong, but it's just real heavy-handed. I kind of like, I would like less, you know, a little bit less darkness. You know, I like the realistic take in a lot of ways, but you can kind of, it doesn't have to be so realistic once you have Superman involved. And I'm kind of hoping that they do a good job with this. You know, I'm really hoping beyond hope here. It just seems like they're rushing really quickly to try to get a script together, and we'll see what happens. I mean, everybody's kind of speculating right now, but I hope for the best, and I certainly am not, don't care that if it's Affleck as Batman. I mean, come on. And I hear now that that, you know, the actor from Breaking Bad, Malcolm in the Middle, I'm hearing the rumors are they're casting him as Lex Luthor. Nothing has really been confirmed yet, but I think he'd be a good Lex Luthor. But I have a lot of other people in mind that I think would play that role as well. Finally, one last thing. I swear that I'm done. I've been trying to, you know, my Netflix, I have DSL here, and so Netflix streaming just kind of works okay. But I've really been interested in seeing some of the Netflix original series. I tried Hemlock Grove in the first episode and a half, and I just was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. But I started watching Orange is the New Black last night, which, again, is not science fiction. But I really enjoyed it. I watched the first episode, and I really enjoyed it. And I can so see how I could sit there and just, bam, one episode after another, I could just burn right through that if I didn't have to have sleep or anything or responsibility or children or any of those things. But really enjoyed that. Highly recommend it. Not for the family, though. Definitely a lot of nude lesbian sex scenes in there. So just keep that in mind if you're going to turn it on and your wife walks in and is like, what are you watching? You know, but it's actually, you know, it's a comedy drama type thing. And I'm kind of enjoying the comedy. I'm enjoying the whole thing, but I like the little comedy bits in there that they kind of make me laugh. But I've really been enjoying that. So, and I myself have never seen all of Breaking Bad. I've only seen a few episodes here and there, and I think that might be the next thing that I jump on. But Spartacus comes out in a couple weeks, and I think I want to watch that because I really really dig that. Never going to get a good deal on Spartacus like I did on season two when it was Christmas time and it was $20 at Target. So I think I'm probably going to pay the I think it's 28 or something like that on Amazon. So I'm probably going to pay that for the series, but then I'll have the whole thing. I don't have Gods of the Arena. I'll pick it up at some point in time when it becomes cheap, but at least then I'll have the core series, and I will be able to finish watching that and knowing what happens to all the characters. Anyhow, that is the show. I'm going to try very hard to get back on a weekly schedule. We'll see what happens, but those of you that have been sticking with me, thank you so much, and thanks for taking the time to download and listen, and feedback is always appreciated. Anything you got to say, and I try to be a little bit better about getting the feedback into the show in a timely fashion rather than waiting months before that happens. But anyway, this is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig Podcast. Over and out.